There's a stunning comment of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chavav, where the Gemara tells us that many different animals can be used as a source for the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. But one which is disqualified is using a keren shel parah. The Gemara explains because that's reminiscent of the Chet HaEgel, and the Gemara applies the principle of Ein Kategor Nasa Senegor. That's a sugi Meretz Hashem will see soon in Kedushin and Daf Hei Yomar Aleph. The Gemara tells us a parallel, and that is when it comes to Avodas Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. The Kohen Gadol does not wear Big Day Zahav, because Big Day Zahav as well is somewhat a reminder of the Chet HaEgel, and therefore inappropriate for Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara raises a very, very basic question. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear Big Day Zahav. Of course he wears Big Day Zahav. The only place he doesn't wear the Big Day Zahav is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So you see that halacha of Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar does not apply generally, universally. It's limited to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We don't sound the shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We sound it outside in our communities, in our shul. And how is it that you can apply the principle then of Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar? That's the kash of the Gemara. The Gemara answers something which is cunning, that cave under the Zikaron hu, kilif nimdam. There's something unusual about Tkiyah Shofar. It's as though that the mitzvah of Shofar is being performed and fulfilled in the Kodesh HaKadosh, comparable to the Avodas Kohen Gadol when it comes to Yom Kippur. That no doubt requires understanding. We'll have to speak later. That what exactly does that mean? That Shofar is similar to Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rav Slavetchik would often parallel the Sugya Brachas Daf Lamed when it comes to Tefillah. Tefillah also is Mechuvan Keneged Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kodesh HaKadoshim is the most sacred place that one could indeed envision. And you know, Rabbi Krupko would often tell me that Dr. Lander, Zichrono Levracha, would often say that our yeshiva is the Kodesh HaKadoshim of all of the institution of what is now Truro University. Many different campuses, many different places, but the crown jewel, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is our Beis Medrash, the Isak Batorah that you all engage in. And I can tell you that that is the feeling that I have from Dr. Kadish whenever we speak about the yeshiva generally. The commitment, the dedication, the investment in the yeshiva is something which is absolutely striking. And it's a time to be able to express a sense of hakara satov for all of that support. I would urge you after today's shiur is over to go over to Dr. Kadish, introduce yourself, convey a birchas ksivah simatov, and just simply say thank you, because we're only enabled to do what we do because of incredible siyata dishmaya and because of the diligence and the commitment of the highest levels of the administration of Truro University. The theme today is devoted to Yomim Noraim, an expansion of the theme that Dr. Kadish discussed last year when he was with us. And please give him your undivided attention for what will be Bezras Hashem, wonderful shir and wonderful divrei yisuras.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Sachs. As you mentioned, I get incredible pleasure about being able to visit here and speak with you, as well as continue to support the work that you're all doing and the experience that you all have. So as Rabbi Sachs mentioned, it's sort of a continuation of something I spoke about last year. So for those of you who were here and awake, I'll try to review briefly what we talked about. And for those of you who weren't, hopefully it will be understandable. So I'd like to start by suggesting that as we go through the period from Elul through Hoshana Rabbah, the entire period of Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, and then perhaps the final appeal, so to speak, up to Hoshana Rabbah, that we're very familiar with what we do at each particular moment. We all experience it year after year, and we have a clear understanding, hopefully, about what in each component the mitzvah hayom is. What I'd like to do to start today, however, is take a look at the entire continuum but particularly focusing on the unusual role of Rosh Hashanah. What I mean by the unusual role of Rosh Hashanah is to quote a theme that Rabbi Sacks has spoken up about in the past, and that I heard a shiur a couple of weeks ago, actually near my home, from Michael Rosenzweig about. Rosh Hashanah is complicated. What's complicated about Rosh Hashanah? On the one hand, it's a day of incredible seriousness, concern, fear about judgment. On the other hand, it's still a yuntif. But I'd like to ask a few more specific questions about the complexity of Rosh Hashanah today. So the first is the entire process of judgment on Rosh Hashanah. If we look at this continuum, beginning from Elul to Rosh Hashanah, to Aser Yemei Teshuvah and Yom Kippur, the question is sort of when does judgment have? And we know from the first mission Rosh Hashanah, from the Gemara on Daf Tezayin shown in reference 4, that Shlosha Sfarim Niftachim b'Rosh Hashanah. There are 3 Sfarim. Echad Shel Rishon Gemurim, Echad Shel Tzadikim Gemurim, Ve'echad Shel Beinonim. So what exactly constitutes a Tzadik and a Rosh and a Beinoni? The Gemara in Kedushin says, "Asa mitzvah achas ashrav shechriya atzmo l'kaf zchus." That's reference 5. In other words, it's a numerical counting. Now, the Rambam, to be fair, says maybe, perhaps, not every mitzvah and aver is equivalent, and so sometimes there's one mitzvah that can overcome several averos, and one avera that can unfortunately counterbalance several mitzvos. But at the end of the day, it's a numerical counting. Unfortunately, none of us probably can count the number of mitzvos and averos that we did in the past year. But at least on the mitzvah side, hopefully it's in the many thousands. So how many people, according to this at least straightforward interpretation of the Gemara, how many people would fall into this Beinoni category? Now, admittedly, the Michtav Eliyahu has an entirely different conception of what constitutes a tzaddik in a Russia, and it has to do with turning one's internal feelings into actual actions. And according to his definition, most of us are beinonim. That is, we always want to do the right thing, but sometimes we fall off a little bit. And that's the Michtav Meliyahu's definition of a beinoni. But that's an unusual definition that's very difficult to reconcile with the Gemara in Kedushim Daf Mem. And indeed, the Rambam brings down this same sort of very numerical approach to the judgment on Rosh Hashanah. So if we take the straightforward interpretive approach of the Gemara in Kedushim and the Rambam, almost nobody's a Beinoni. I mean, again, throughout the entire year, if we're talking about Asa Mitzvah Achas, that there's a numerical count, how many people are going to have actually equal mitzvos and averos at the time of the judgment on Rosh Hashanah? So if that's true, so what's going on in Aseres Yemei Teshuvah and Yom Kippur? For almost everybody, it's irrelevant. The judgment has been set. Second question. Rosh Hashanah, as we've said, is the start of Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, as you all know. And we refer to this period as a period which is Mekubal Teshuvah. What constitutes the mitzvah of tshuva? At least let's start with the Rambam. And Rabbi Sacks gave a shiur on this, I'm not sure exactly when, that I heard on the website, where he talked about the machlokas, about what exactly the mitzvah of tshuva is, whether tshuva is part of the mitzvah or not. It's not the central topic of what we want to talk about today. The two views on that point are shown in reference 10 and 11. One, that the Rambam indeed considers tshuva as part of the same mitzvah as vidui, even though it's not necessarily explicitly stated. The other view is that, indeed, according to the Rambam, vidui is not a mitzvah chiyuvis, but a mitzvah kiyumis. That is, there's no requirement to do tshuva and vidui, but rather, if one decides to do tshuva, then one must do vidui. The example that's given that typically uses is, let's say, the mitzvah of gerushin. There's a mitzvah, one of the taryag mitzvahs, v'chasav lasefer krisus, to give a get. No one suggests that this means we should all get divorced. But if indeed you decide to get divorced, this is the methodology that the Torah tells us to use. The Rambam, at least one explanation of the Rambam, brought down by the Minchas Chinuch in reference 11, indeed is that that's the idea. Tshuva is a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah chiyuvis. But if you do tshuva, this is the way you do vidui. And vidui itself is the mitzvah. Tshuva itself is not a mitzvah. But regardless of that construct, on Rosh Hashanah, as you're all aware, we don't do vidui. And in fact, even more than that, if you look at the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, brought down in reference 6, there's nothing about tshuva. This is one of Esrei of Shacharis and Musaf. I've just put a few words in. The closest we have is Zichronos in the Amidah of Musaf. And in Zichronos, we say, Zachreinu b'zikaron tov l'faneka, l'fanecha, uzcharas habrias v'sachesed, we ask Hashem not to get angry with us. Remember the bris avos. But none of that talks about tshuva. So if indeed Rosh Hashanah is the start of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and as we know, the simple explanation, although we'll talk about shofar in a few minutes, simple explanation of shofar, l'odor esam l'tshuva, to encourage people to do tshuva, where's the tshuva? There's no vidui, and there's no reference in Shmona Esrei to the act of tshuva. So that's the second question I want to begin with. The third question is related to the tekios on Rosh Hashanah, and brought down in one of the later references. The question becomes, this is reference 13. Loma tokim eridim kishahim yoshvin, v'tokim eridim shehem omdim, kedei la'arve v'asatan. This is Gemara Rosh Hashanah Tazayin. Why do we blow two sets of kolos on Rosh Hashanah? And we'll discuss that in a moment. To mix up the satan. So, how do we understand mixing up the satan? Rashi says that it's not really to mix up the satan, but that blowing the shofar twice tells the satan how important mitzvos are to us. But it seems like an overly simplistic explanation for this concept of la'arve ves ha-satan. So those are the three questions I want to use to frame the discussion. But particularly today, what I want to do is focus on how to kiya shofar, the mitzvahs hayom shal Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah of the day, might impact those three questions. So before we get to that, I just want to say a few words about this continuum from Rosh Chodesh Elul up through Hoshana Rabbah, which might help us understand how a particular construct of the complicated day of Rosh Hashanah might be understood. So Rosh Chodesh Elul, there's a tekiyah on Rosh Chodesh Elul, actually the second day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is the first day of Elul, as well as we continue up till today, blowing the shofar, and then take a break. So the question is, why do we blow the shofar in Chodesh Elul? So there are three explanations. One we've already discussed, the classic one, L'Or Es on B'tshuva. Although it turns out that blowing the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul may have a slightly different reason. And if we look at reference 2, quoting from the tour, Rosh Chodesh Elul, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Alei HaHara, on Rosh Chodesh he tells Moshe to come back up, She'oz Olo L'Kabel Luchos Achronos. On that day, Moshe went to receive the second set of luchos. Vaviru shofar bonachana. And they passed the shofar, they passed or blew the shofar through the camp. We'll come back to the word vahaviru a little bit later. Shaloyutu rachavar ozara. Because the last time Moshe went up, of course, we had cheder egel. So the shofar was blown the second time around to awake, to remind people about the cheder egel and not to do it again. The blowing for the rest of the month, the classic explanation, of course, is la'ora eslam tshuva, to awaken us to the period of Elul when we need to do tshuva in preparation for the judgment on the day of Rosh Hashanah. The complexity of that judgment is something we've already alluded to. And finally, there's a third reason given, v'alo kedei la'arvev ha-satan, this concept that we just introduced from the Gemara about the Tekiyos de Me'umad and Tekiyos Me'usha, of the two sets of kolos on Rosh Hashanah. That concept is also brought down regarding regarding blowing the shofar throughout Chodesh Elul. Now, of course, we could potentially conceive of all these three halachos reminding us about Cheder Egel, La'oreh on the Tshuva, La'arvev HaSatan, all relating to the same concept of doing Tshuva during Chodesh Elul. But those three concepts, perhaps, merged together. There are some who suggest that the Chiyuv on Rosh Chodesh Elul is different from the Chiyuv throughout the month of Elul because of this distinction. But regardless, each of the explanations emphasizes the fact that there is a major component of tshuva during Chodesh Elul. And that will become important as we try to understand the nature of the judgment on Rosh Hashanah and then progress through Aseret Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur. So now we come to the part, so that's a brief summary of some of the things we talked about last time. So I want to now introduce in reference 12 an unusual but perhaps novel understanding to try to begin to answer some of these questions. And this comes from a sefer called Ele Moed Hashem, written by Rebbe Eliyahu Schlesinger, written in the very late 20th century. That's actually not so easy to get. I tried to buy another copy in Eretz Yisrael, and I couldn't do it, so I had to buy it here and bring it there. So, however, there's some interesting insights in there. And what he suggests is the following. To answer the first question about Shlosa Sfarim Niftachim. And that is that indeed on Rosh Hashanah, shortly at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, we are judged based on a numerical count of what we've done in the past year, modified, of course, by whatever tshuva we've done in Chodesh Elul, as we've just described. So what's the point of Aseret Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, if we're judged on Rosh Hashanah? Here he introduces a contemporary analogy. And when we think about the analogies that Chazal use, one of the ones that's been most difficult for me to understand is the analogies to Melech. Because for those of us who grew up in a democracy, trying to relate to Hashem through the prism of a monarchy is sometimes challenging. We try to understand that as best we can by thinking about what it might be to live in a monarchy. But the reality is, often that analogy is more difficult. So in this case, I think to overcome some of that difficulty, he uses an analogy to the modern justice system. And both in the United States and Israel, either through a bench trial or a jury trial, there's an initial phase of judgment. If someone's found guilty, particularly of a serious crime, then it goes back to the jury for the penalty phase. And then finally, there may be a final appeal. So to try to understand this continuum, what we can say is that the trial occurs on Rosh Hashanah based on our actions throughout the entire year. The initial verdict occurs on Rosh Hashanah based on our actions throughout the entire year. And indeed, most of us have a judgment delivered on Rosh Hashanah. So what's Aseret Yemei Tshuva? Aseres Yimei Tshuva, to paraphrase what he said, is the penalty phase of the trial. It's when character witnesses are brought to try to learn something about the person to see what the final punishment will be. And according to the Sefer El Edem HaShem, that's what Aseres Yimei Tshuva and Yom Kippur represent. They represent the penalty phase of the trial. And in the penalty phase, it's not about guilt or innocence. It's not about a numerical counting of mitzvos and averos. It's about our character and our relationship with Hashem. And of course, tshuva and tzedakah during Aseres Yimei Tshuva are manifestations of our character. But the final judgment on Yom Kippur, even first of all, as he suggests, we may be able to reverse the judgment on Rosh Hashanah, which is the classic explanation. But even if we don't reverse the judgment, the reward and punishment may be modified just as it is in the penalty phase of a trial. And in Aseres Yimei Tshuva, yes, of course, we want to do tshuva and try to get the count in the right place. But it's not a count. It's about our relationship with Hashem, how we relate to Hashem. Are we Ovdei Hashem? Are we Am Hashem? Do we have the desire to do Hashem's bidding? And of course, tshuva is a major manifestation of that, but so is tzedakah, and so is the internal awakening that exists during Aseres Yimei Tshuva. To borrow another concept, we could say that tshuva and vidu and Aseres Yimei Tshuva are the maaseh ha-mitzvah, the actions that we do. But actually what the kiyum ha-mitzvah of Aseres Yimei Tshuva is actually developing a relationship with Hashem or extending our relationship with Hashem so that we do better in the next year. Going back to the questions we asked about Rosh Hashanah and the absence of any specific reference to tshuva or vidui, I would suggest the following. We're sort of restarting the clock of judgment after the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. Are we a tzaddik or a rasha or a beinoni? And the first step to restarting that judgment is acknowledging our relationship with Hashem. And so if we look at Shemona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah and Shacharis and Musa, what we're doing is acknowledging that Hashem rules the world, and specifically in the Tefillah Sayom of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, we're acknowledging that Hashem is the Melech, is the ruler. In Zichronos, that Hashem controls ultimately our destiny and the destiny of the world. And in Shofros, the Tekiah Shofar, if you look at the Pesukim that we quote, and I just provided a few of them in reference 6. Uvedivrei kachacha kasuv lemor, we're now talking about Tekiah Shofar. Olo Elohim besrua Hashem b'kol shofar. Hashem is elevated through srua and kol shofar. B'chatzos ros v'kol shofar haril ofnei ha-melech Hashem. With a chatzos ros, with the trumpets and the shofar, we celebrate with Hashem musically. Tiku b'chor shofar b'kesel yom chagenu ki chok Yisrael hu mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. Blow the shofar on the Chodesh Rosh Hashanah, on Kesa, the day that's hidden, because we don't have Birchas HaChodesh. Ki chok l'Yisrael hu mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. It's both a chok and a mishpat, and we'll come back to that in a few moments. But the point is that the Tekiah Shofar that we refer to in Shofros on Rosh Hashanah is not about tshuva, ula oresam tshuva. It's about the shofar in celebration of the greatness of Hashem. That's the shofar we have here. So the first step of the character witness development on Aseres Yimei Tshuva, according to this construct, is acknowledging the greatness of Hashem and celebrating the greatness of Hashem to begin to show that we are people who are devoted to Hashem. So that's a brief summary of the overall construct. What I wanted to focus on in perhaps the next 20 minutes or so is how the mitzvahs hayom, how Tekiah Shofar can be understood in the sense of that construct. So to do that, I need some help from you. because I didn't quote any references that relate to Tkiyas Shofar. So I want to begin by reviewing. Actually, I think I need one of these sheets. Do we have an extra copy? No. Nope. Okay, I will borrow yours. Let me just see if the this is what I want. Thanks. Rabbi Sachs does not need the Gemara because he knows about it. Yeah. So yours I'll take. So I've zeroed the Gemara that refers to this on Lamed Gimel, Amud Beis, and Lamed Dal and Amud Aleph. And so without reading the Gemara inside, so I want to ask you something. And there's a particular reason. I'm not focused now on details here, but it's going to relate to the theme of what I want to talk about. So the first question that I have for you is, how many times do we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah? Shouldn't be that complicated a question. I'm sorry? Louder. 100. How do we know that we blow it 100 times? When did that minhag originate, and how do we know? Sisera's mother. Very good. So how do we get to Sisera's mother? It seems like a strange place to learn about shofar. Okay, Yavava, right? So we'll come back to the idea of Yavava in a second. But how do we get to 100? It doesn't say that Sisera's mother cried 100 times, right? Unless I missed that part of Navi. So where does the 100 come from? And when did the minhag originate? So the 100 seems to come from the two different explanations, neither of which sort of seem to be fundamental. So one is the gematria of Hachalon. It says his sister's mother was sitting on Hachalon. The gematria of Hachalon is 99. We add one and we get to 100. The other apparently is that in the description there are 101 words, and somehow we end up in 100, although there is a minhag in some Sephardic communities to blow 101, connected the gematria of Michael. But all that seems to be an asmachta, a strange way to develop mea kolos. And it turns out that classically, the minhag of mea kolos maybe goes back to minhag gaonim, but is first brought down about a millennium ago in the Aruch, well after the Gemara. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring down mea kolos. In fact, probably the easiest interpretation of the Mechaber in the Shulchan Aruch is that there are 40 kolos. And of course, based on the Gemara in Lamed Gimel, Amud Beis, the mitzvah d'oraisa is how many kolos? Nine. How do we get to nine? Okay, so there are three psukim. Two about Rosh Hashanah, one about Yovel, which say Trua. We have Gzera Shava between Chodesh HaShvi'i on Yovel and Chodesh HaShvi'i on Rosh Hashanah. And so we say that we learn from each of those that we need three truos. The word Vahavarta, which we alluded to before, tells us that we have tequila faneha. The pasuk continues, we have tequila lachreha. So we come up with three kolos and tequila faneha and tequila lachreha. That comes to nine. There seems to be a consensus that that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So how do we get from 9 to 100? And as I mentioned, historically, we were first at 30, 27, then 30, then 40, then 42, then 60, then 100. That's the history of the development of the number of kolos. And as I said, this is not a trivia contest. There will be a point to this. But first of all, how do we get from 9 to 27 or 30? The 27 or 30 is whether we count the Shvarim Trua as separate. So how do we get from 9 to 30 or 27? I'm sorry?
Hashrat three times.
Okay, Hashrat three times. Tashrat three times. So what the origin of that, of course, is that the Gemara says we don't actually know what the Trua is. Yes, we learn the Yavava from Aim Sisra, but in fact, the sound could be the Shvarim, it could be the Trua. We don't know. We want to be able to be sure to fulfill the mitzvah. So we have a Tfir Shvarim Tekiya, Tekiya Trua Tekiya, and Tekiya, as you said, Shvarim Trua Tekiya. So that's how we get to the initial construct of 30 kolos. So I have another question. How come we don't have a Trua Shvarim? How do people cry? Very good. How do people cry? Yeah, but why? What does that mean? You're absolutely right, but what does that mean? Okay, so... right. So the first part, Genuche Ganach, exactly as you say, the Gemara says, is moaning, right? So first, there's a time of concern, a time of worry, a time of anguish. And then if things don't go well, then you cry. So it doesn't make sense to reverse the order to have a Trua Shvarim. If we think about the analogy to Aim Sisra, right, one of the explanations for Mea Kolos, one of the others is the number of times Sarah cried, also from the Medrash when she heard about the Akedah. But if we think about the analogy to Aim Sisra, first Aim Sisra is worried about what happened. And then she figures out that it doesn't seem that he's won, and now she's actually crying. So we'll come back to that idea of Ginuche Ganach and Yula Yalal a little bit later. But what should be clear from what we've talked about already is that the Kia, Shvarim, and Trua each have different implications in terms of what they represent. The Tekiya, as brought down in Shofros, represents a time of celebration or elevation or preparation for war. The Shvarim is a time of anguish, and the Trua represents Bechi. So as I said, we'll come back to that in a few moments. Okay. So, now let's return to one of the issues we raised earlier about Tekiyas Miyushav and Tekiyas Me'umad. So this is based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Tezayin and talks about two different sets of Tekiyas. There's a machlokas, actually, about when we blow each of those sets. And it's a complicated machlokas that I just want to allude to briefly for the point we're going to make today. But just to tell you, and I think Rabbi Sachs also mentioned this in his shir, is that the Rambam, which seems to be the explanation that we accept, suggests that the tekiyos that we blow between Shacharis and Musaf, before the Kaddish, that's tekiyos d'miyushav, it's called the tekiyos of sitting, and the tekiyos that we blow with the brachos of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros are Tekiyos de Me'umad, Tekiyos standing. However, of course, there are several different minhagim in terms of Tekiyos Me'umad, the Tekiyos of Shemon Esrei. So first of all, as I mentioned earlier, there's a time when we went through 40 kolos. Those 40 kolos, there were only 10 kolos during the brachas of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. There are those who blow during the silent Shemon Esrei. There are those who blow the shofar during Chazaras Hashatz, and there are those who do both. So there's a lot of uncertainty about exactly how to connect the brachos of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros with the tekiyos de Me'umad, with the second set of tekiyos. Which one of those tekiyos, by the way, is Kedei La'arvev as HaSatan? Also unclear, and we'll get to that. However, there is an opinion brought down by the Baal Ma'or and some others that actually we don't blow shofar at all between Shacharis and Musaf, or if we do, it's not part of the essential mitzvah. But instead, the tekiyos de Miyushav are actually the tekiyos that are blown in Musaf. And then following that, we do the tekiyos de Me'umad in the kolos, in the shofar blowing that we do after Shemon Esrei. That's a minority opinion. So for today's purposes, we'll assume the Rambam's opinion that the Tekiyos de Miyushav are done between Shacharis and Musaf, as we normally do, and the Tekiyas to Me'umad are done during Shemona Esrei. In reference 16, the Rambam says the following: Hatzibor chayavim lishmoa hatkios al seder habrachos. The tzibur is required to listen to the tekiyos along with the brachos of Musaf. Ketzad omer shliach tzibur avos ugvuros ukdushas hayom umalkios v'tokei shalosh v'omer zichronos v'tokei shalosh v'omer shofros v'tokei shalosh. And then you finish Shemona Esrei. And so, again, here is the question of how many tekiyos they are. According to the Rambam here, one might suggest that there are only three kolos that are heard after each of the brachos, perhaps different ones after each of the three, leading to a total of 40. And in any case, however, the Rambam identifies this set of kolos that are done during Shemona Esrei as a mitzvah tzibur. We also know, however, that there's a second set of brachos, of tekiyos, that happens to be tekiyos to Miyushav. And if we look at it, reference 18, this is from Rav Soloveitchik in the Sefer Harei Kedem. He talks about the fact that part of the complexity of Rosh Hashanah and the difficulty in understanding some of this, what the two sets of tekiyos represent, they actually represent two different mitzvahs. And this is something that's actually brought down in the Aruch HaShulchan and other places previously, although with a slightly different emphasis, which is that the first set of tekiyos, the tekiyos miyushav, the tekiyos between Shacharis and Musaf, are a mitzvah yachid. What's the relevance of that? The relevance is, suppose you're not davening with a minyan for whatever reason. When should you blow shofar and how many kolos are you required to blow? The answer appears to be that as a yachid, it doesn't matter when you blow, but you don't blow during Shemona Esrei. You mekayim the mitzvah, you fulfill the mitzvah with a typical initial set of 30 kolos. Because the second set of kolos, the kolos that are blown during Shemona Esrei, are a mitzvah tzibur, not a mitzvah yachid. So, as we try to think about that conception, I think it's also worthwhile asking, so, what's actually the mitzvah d'oraisa? What is the biblical, which of these tekiyos fulfills the biblical commandment? So going back to the pasuk of Kichok Yisrael Hu Mishpat Le'elokei Yaakov, the suggestion has been made that the first set of tekiyos, even though there's a remez to doing tshuva, that the first set of tekiyos are a chok. The second set of tekiyos are a mishpat, something we can understand, because they connect the mitzvahs hayom, the tekiyos, to Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. So how does that connection happen? So in a couple of moments, I'm going to go back to the concept which we introduced at the beginning to try to understand how the details of performing the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar in Tekiyah Demiyushav and Tekiyah Demi'umad relate to the nature of Rosh Hashanah and relate to what we're doing in Rosh Hashanah. So, before I do that, I want to reemphasize something that's brought down in reference 17, also from Harei Kedem, that talks about the issue indirectly that we raised earlier. That indirectly talks about the issue we raised earlier, but directly relates to the question of, is there tshuva on Rosh Hashanah? And what Rav Soloveitchik says is that even though there's no actual tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, because vidui is the actual way we fulfill the mitzvah, leaving aside whether tshuva is part of the mitzvah or not for now, there is still a remez to tshuva, and the remez to tshuva is blowing the shofar. He doesn't really say which tekiyos are involved, but the remez is blowing the shofar. So, to try to put this all together, with the initial concept we discussed, I want to suggest the following. We've talked about the fact that in some ways, Rosh Hashanah is a restart of the process of judgment, of din. And that an initial verdict has already been entered for most of us. And then on Rosh Hashanah, we're now entering a second phase of tshuva. And on Rosh Hashanah, that phase of tshuva is to try to, through tshuva and other maisim, to bring ourselves closer to Hashem. To try to begin this process of understanding the restart of tshuva and of getting close to Hashem, the first step is accomplished through the tekiyas miyushav, the tekiyas sitting down before musaf, where it's indeed it's a chok, but it creates a remez to the fact that we're entering another episode of tshuva. It's just, it's not actually performing tshuva, it's not vidui, it's simply beginning to awaken us to the fact that we're entering this second period of judgment based on how we've developed our relationship with Hashem. It's an individual mitzvah. It's reminding us that we're entering the next phase of judgment. As we mentioned earlier, what's the first thing we have to do in this relationship, in developing our character relationship with Hashem? It's acknowledging Hashem's greatness, acknowledging Hashem's rulership. And that's what the brachos of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros do. They acknowledge that Hashem rules the world, that Hashem judges the world, and that the shofar is a way to manifest and declare Hashem's greatness. It occurred at Mamad Har Sinai. It occurred at celebrations. It occurred at a time of Milchemes Mitzvah, when we were conquering Eretz Yisrael, the shofar was blown, along with the Chatzos Rosh. So that's how these two tekiyos come together, these two sets of tekiyos come together to actuate the theme of Rosh Hashanah. Second point, returning to the idea of what each of the kolos represents and the complex nature of Rosh Hashanah. On the one hand, a yontuv and a day of celebration. On the other hand, a day of great charada, great fear, and a day when we're concerned and worried about what our judgment was. So we have the tekiyah, which represents our declaring the greatness of Hashem and in a sense functioning as a celebration. We have the shvarim, which represents our concern for what the judgment was and what the next year will bring. And the trua, the yavava, which represents a cry to protect us from the judgment which may have been issued. Finally, as I mentioned, Rosh Hashanah is a complicated day. And also referencing what Rabbi Sacks had talked about, if we look at the description of the Moadim, we have Yontav, the 3 days of Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos in the Psukim are dealt with in one category, Rosh Hashanah in a second category, and Yom Kippur in a third category. And Rosh Hashanah has both those characteristics as Yom Hadin, but also as a day of celebration of Yontav. And that complicated idea about what Rosh Hashanah represents and what the tekiyos represent, and why we have two sets of tekiyos, and why the mitzvos are different, that repetition is not just a repetition, can be understood not just as a pure repetition, to say we did it twice, so we're showing the satan how much we love mitzvos, but rather, those two different tekiyos represent the two aspects of Rosh Hashanah, the complexity of Rosh Hashanah. One, a day of concern in tshuva, or beginning the process of tshuva, and the other, of celebration of our relationship to Hashem. And that second, the celebration of the relationship to Hashem, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, is a mitzvah tzibur, because after all, That's not about our individual relationship, necessarily, but also about the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem, and therefore, the Tekiyos de Me'umad, the Tekiyos of Musaf, are a mitzvah tzibur, where we celebrate not only our individual relationship with Hashem, but also the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. I hope as we enter Rosh Hashanah that despite my skepticism, there are a lot of people, that there are very few people who are Beinonim. So our hope is that everyone has a Ksiva Chasima Tova on Rosh Hashanah and reinforces it during Aseres Yemei Teshuvah on Yom Kippur. And for those few Beinonim around, that we use that as a chance to tilt the scales to the positive, and that we continue what I understand has been a great year at Lander College for Men for the last month. So I'll be happy to answer any questions. Ksiva Chasima Tova. All right. Enjoy your day.